You are listening to Bible Direction for Life, the sermon podcast of Westside Baptist Church in Bremerton, Washington. We pray that the preaching and teaching you hear on this podcast connects the truth of the Bible to your life, that you would learn more about the triune God who made you and what he made you for. And now, here's today's message.
Ecclesiastes 3 tonight, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, probably familiar verses to most, if not all of us, amen, if we're students of the Bible, and we ought to be at whatever age, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, while you're turning there. Talks about time, talks about seasons of life. And the Bible talks about every purpose under heaven. I don't see many pages rustling anymore or hear them, so I guess we're pretty much there. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer tonight. Father, we thank thee and praise thee for thy word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, I pray you tonight that you'd help elucidate your word to this congregation, Lord, work through me, Lord. It is not my word, it is your word. Help me to be a servant, Lord, who is given to your will tonight in your perfect way. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. So the Bible here talks about several different periods and times for different events, for different attitudes, for different emotions, for different heartfelt following of the Lord's will in our lives. Amen. And I'm here to talk to you tonight about timing. Timing is very important. There can be times in life where something is just right in accordance with the Lord's will, and a time in life where even though it may be a right thing, it is absolutely not the right time. Amen? And I think any that have lived much time on this earth know what I'm talking about there. I could give you many examples, but time would not allow for it tonight. Just as there is a time for everything in service to the Lord, there is a time for every one of us to respond to God's leading with respect to where he has put us, where we are right now in our Christian growth, and in our physical growth. Perhaps you're a young Christian teen, 10 to 15 years old, in your parents' house. Any like that tonight? Petey, would you come up here? Would you mind being a prop? How many remember being 10 to 15 in your parents' house? Okay. Thank you. Go ahead and stand here. About 16 to 18 or 20, you have a job perhaps, going to school, you're still single in your parents' home. 16 to 20. Zachary, kind of quasi in your parents' home, right? Even though the United States government owns you lock, stock, and barrel to a degree. And how about 19 to 25, and some of these are crossovers, 19 to 25, young and married, or not, but once again, you have a task and a mission in your sphere of influence. 18 to 25. Anyone else? Yes. Okay, you can. You're already there. Perfect. Makes sense. All right. How about young married or not so young married, but raising your children? Either young children, teens, up non-adult children, let's put it that way. Any in that category that are willing to come up? Yes, come on up, sir. All right, thank you. And how about, say, whatever ages apply, 45, 55 or so, your kids are grown up, and so you're just become an empty nester not too long ago. In other words, not as old as I am, but, you know, because I have grandchildren and I have adult grandchildren, as a matter of fact. But you have adult children no longer in the home. Anyone? Okay, how about older children? You know, like mid-teens or so, up to soon they'll be gone. Anyone in that category? See, now this is the problem with not having everybody here. It just doesn't work with the illustrations, right? All right, amen. We have a willing participant. Or at least we have a participant, okay? That's the next best thing. Okay, so this next one could be difficult. 60 or so with kids, grandkids, or not, and you're mentoring others with your years of experience. Okay, it's not required that you're mentoring, but 60 or so with kids and grandkids. Okay, so a time for everything. This young man has a place in life. Amen? He is in his parents' home. He is totally and completely in subjection to his parents. Excuse me. For spiritual leadership and so forth. Has a spiritual head, his father in his home. And yet, he is in a unique position in life to influence his peer group. He has a particular specific sphere of influence that he can speak to. Amen? That perhaps, we're going to play Duck Duck Goose here. Perhaps this man, this young man, I can say young, may not immediately be able to reach. Not living that life, been there, done that, has all the t-shirts, okay? But it's going to take him some time and some effort in order to reach that 10, 12, 14-year-old, right? Because he's not going through the same physical and social things in life. Amen? And each one, if you were to look at them up here and ask them, they have a different sphere of influence of people. Amen? And so different times in our lives, different states in our lives, and there's events that go along with this too. Being married, of course, is different than being unmarried. Being in the military, different than not being in the military. Different situations, off at college or living at home at a job. There's a little bit difference. But I want you to get the picture, and I want to have the picture tonight, that we all have, excuse me, a peer group or a sphere of influence that's around us that we see on a regular basis. Amen? And so they're doing the things we're doing. Well, maybe not, but you know what I'm saying. In life, we're in the same state of life, okay? And so we need to be looking at what it's time to do in our time of life, okay? You can go ahead and be seated if you would. Thank you. Sang too strident this morning, so we'll keep up on the water here. And so oftentimes, when we know we should be sharing, we don't. Sometimes it's out of fear. Sometimes it's out of lack of confidence. But that's misplaced, because oftentimes when it's out of lack of confidence, it's lack of confidence in ourselves. But it's a confidence of God, because it's God's message. We're just the messenger. I'm just the messenger tonight. I didn't write this book. I don't have the capability to write this book. I barely have the capability to read this book. And I certainly don't have the capability to completely understand it. And the extent that I do is how much I put into that effort. Amen? And we're all the same. But oftentimes, as Moses did, as David did, as many people in the Bible did, they said, I can't. Remember Moses? I can't speak to the people. I can't do this. I. How many times in our life, how many times in your life and in my life did we say, God, I can't do that. I could never do that. How many have children in here? Or grandchildren? Or those that you mentor who are in that age group? And they'll say, I couldn't do that. And they truly believe that they couldn't do that. Maybe you have a child that you try to teach to swim. I guess they say it's easier to have babies learn to swim because they're not already afraid of the water. Amen? And you know that they can, but they don't know that they can because they're looking at self. They're not trusting mom, or they're not trusting dad. They're not trusting that authority. They're trusting in self. And don't we do that even up to the greater ages because we're trusting in self? God, I could never do that. And so as a parent, how do we react when the child acts that way? Okay, you're not ready, you know, and we try to influence and we try to push and we try because we know they can, because we're there to help and we're just human beings. Never mind when God asks us to do something and we shy away and say, I could never do this. I can't do this, God. I can't. So what are we really saying? You didn't make me sufficient to do something that you're asking me to do. So we're going back to Ephesians 6:4, where we're frustrating the child. Let's look at that real quick, because I know that's not the exact translation and I want the exact wording. I want to get that right. Ephesians 6:4, provoking the child to wrath. That would be provoking the child to wrath. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So those are the words in the Bible that tell fathers what not to do. And we oftentimes focus on children obey your parents, children obey your parents, children obey your parents. But we don't often preach on fathers don't provoke your children. Father's responsibility, spiritual head in the home. Okay, but what are we telling God if we say, I could never do that? You're actually saying, and I'm actually saying, God, you're provoking me to wrath. Stand by. Stand by if we have that attitude toward God. So we need to assess whether that's really God talking or somebody else. Amen? You know face to face if it's your mom or dad talking, right? Because you see them. They're physically in front of you, okay? And to the extent we are close to God, we are in His Scripture, we're reading His Word, we're around Christian people, we know whether those voices are from God or from another source, from an unholy source, amen? And so we're in times of life where it's time to weep, it's time to mourn, it's time to do all these things, but oftentimes we miss the boat, as it were, because we're basically saying, I can't, God. Careful when you say I. Because what we're telling God is, you don't have the power to work through me. You don't have the power to work through me. I mean, think about as a child, if you told your mom or dad, you don't have the strength to help me up out of the water, or whatever it is, whatever the duty that you're looking at is. So we're in a time of life where we are uniquely challenged based on that time in life, based on the events in our life. Once again, a young child, an older child, one who is a teen, job, you're working in a workplace, you're at school, you're around a different influence, you're around a different sphere of influence of people. But sometimes you say, you know what, God, I just can't. Because we're looking at self. Stand by when we look at self. Amen. There is a lady in our church who is over 60. I wouldn't consider really in any of those groups. She's a sweet lady. She's a strong lady. I think she's probably the oldest lady in our church. She's 89 years old, and I don't think she'd mind me saying that. And that's Miss Jean Balter. My parents have passed, and there's not many people. Maybe I can count on one finger that I could go to as a mother figure. That's just the way life is, folks. But I remember talking to Jean recently, just like I would have talked to my mother. She is often in pain. She has sorrows. She has trouble. Her family's not all perfect, and none of us are. Amen. And yet, she comes here, and she teaches young children. And it's hard, because she's in pain. It's hard to get here. It's hard to go home. Sometimes it's hard to do a lot of things. But she does it because she loves God and she loves people. And she didn't say, I can't do that anymore. As long as she can breathe and she can walk and she can get here in whatever medical device, I venture to say she's going to be here. And so shame on us when we tell God no. Shame on me when I tell God no. If she can do it, why can't we? Joshua 24 and verse 15, it says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Wonderful words, amen. But do we do that? To the extent we should, amen. Dad, spiritual head of your home, do an assessment. Once your assessment is done, ask your wife, see what she thinks. Is she on the same page as you? Oftentimes she'll have perspectives that you don't on many situations, and you need to listen and evaluate that. Psalm 100 and verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So when we ask ourselves, is it time to love today? Is it time to hate today? And that may seem like a strange phrase there, but what should we hate? What should we hate? Anybody? Sin, amen. The sin in our lives, sin corporately, sin itself, the things that are against God. We're not to hate people because they're made in the image of God, amen. And in this world right now where the whole political sphere and the social sphere is about putting people in groups. You've got to be in your little group. And this group's got to hate that group. And that group has to hate this group. You get in a group and you hate the right people. Or the wrong people, I guess I should say. That's what society drives us toward. That's their nature. That's the nature of the devil. To divide and conquer, whether it's families, whether it's communities, whether it's churches. It's time to love. But love isn't overlooking sin. Amen. God doesn't overlook our sin. There's judgment. And there should be. Because it deters aberrant behavior. Amen. You practice it all with your children. The consequence for failure is too high. Therefore, I will not do this. Sometimes we have to up that consequence for failure when they keep deciding it's worth it. It's worth it, and so we have to up that consequence. Isn't that what we do by nature? Well, God does that with us. He's patient and He's merciful, but He's also the perfect meter out of judgment and mercy, and we're not. And that's something we need to look at as well. And we do as parents, situationally, right? We decide, is it time for mercy? I mean, we won't say this, but we decide, is it time for mercy or is it time for judgment? And a lot of times, excuse me, what is that dependent on, parent? You've been there? Mercy or judgment? Attitude of the child, amen? And that's what God does with us. Amen? Over and over again. Romans 12:1, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we know, and it's established in Scripture, that it's our plan for us to honor Him. So when the time comes for us to ask ourselves, is it time to do those things? Is it time to weep, mourn, laugh, get, lose, all those different action items, right? How do we evaluate that? How do we know? Well, we know by the Word of God, but we also oftentimes know by the Holy Spirit that speaks to us. Amen? And oftentimes in this world, hopefully we grow out of the attitude, what's wrong with it? I can do it. It doesn't say anywhere in here, I can't do that. Society says it's okay. What's wrong with it? I would suggest to you that a better way to evaluate would be, what's right with it? What's right with it? Because that's a better standard. And the real standard is that what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do? You know, when I was a teenager, got a job, driving a car, the whole bit, you know, you're a little bit more independent. And back then, you know, if you were going to call home, you had to stop somewhere and find a phone booth and take out a dime or, well, when I was young, it was a dime before all the phone booths went away. But you had to actually call and tell them, you know, where you were, whether you're coming home or when you're coming home or whatever. And my mother and father had different standards, and that was a great perturbation between them. But anyway, that's neither here nor there for this message. But I always knew when something was presented to me, I thought, what would my father think? And that's my human father. And I would usually know what he would say or think about an issue, okay? When I'm still, and we weren't, I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but it was the 60s and 70s, so there was still a modicum of morality and honoring of those that that bore you and so forth. It wasn't. It was kind of second nature rather than something you had to develop like it is nowadays, it seems. But I would, to the extent I was close to my father, the point is I knew what he would have for me. And it's the same thing with our Heavenly Father. Amen. The closer our walk is to God, the more we can know instinctively what He wants from us. It's still up to us, amen? But how many times have you said to yourself, I just don't know. I don't know. Seek God. Don't act until you seek God. I mean, unless you have to, it's a safety situation or what have you. And then oftentimes you know what the right answer is anyway. But in regards to Gene and others, listen to senior saints. Listen to them. And oftentimes as well, you will find if they're genuine, and they should be, and they want to help you, and they should, that you're going to hear a lot about failures as well as successes. You know, hopefully by the time you have some hair like this, or no hair, or whatever, you get to the point in life where you're not bashful about telling people how you went wrong. If you're trying to help them, don't do this like I did, okay? That's maturity, is telling people how you failed. And we see the Bible is replete with examples of how people in the Bible failed God. And oftentimes we learn more from people's failures than from their successes, amen? And so be mindful of that once you get a few years behind you and you're mentoring somebody. Okay? Is it time to mourn? Is it time to weep? The Bible says in Matthew 5:16, and if you're bashful, think about it. It says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're to be pointing others to Christ, amen? Not do as I do, but do what God says. And if you think about it, many of the social dilemmas, some Pastor Peter was talking about this morning, they're so obvious to a Christian, amen, are not obvious to people growing up in this world. Because their peer groups are just twisted by listening to the devil and giving themselves over to pleasure and entertainment for the sake of itself. And it's very sad. And let me turn to 1 Corinthians that I don't have here, but I'm going to go ahead and read it anyway. Sometimes I have a mental block. There's a couple of verses I always think are in one chapter that they're in a different one. Okay, well, I can't seem to find it right now, but it goes kind of like this. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. Can somebody look that up and verify the reading and just go ahead and read it out loud? It's in either 1 or 2 Corinthians chapter 1 or 2. Yes, sir.
1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. But who hath known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Amen. Thank you very much. And so the thought process, sometimes we don't understand or we can't comprehend how the world doesn't understand right from wrong. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have it. And so they just go along with the tide. Amen? They just go along with the tide. But Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18 says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. We're to be lights in the world. Philippians chapter 2:12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Not ours, it's God. Do all things without murmurings or disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. What's it time for tonight? What's it time for tomorrow? Is it time for gathering stones, casting them away, planting, plucking up, loving, hating sin? Do we have even any idea? Do we know where to go? Where to humble ourselves before God? The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in your mind? No. In your hands? No. In the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. It's a continuous process. Amen? You can't say, I've arrived. I know what it's time to do everything. As soon as you think you know that, God's going to take us down a peg and say, okay, how about this? Now what are you going to do? Now what are you going to do? Because he wants you to grow. He wants us to have an attitude of serving him, amen, not serving self. And he wants us to be able to pass that down. The older and older I get, I realize that my life is about passing things down. My future is about serving God and passing down to the next generation. And the one after that. And the one after that. And I guess the one after that. And maybe if it gives me long enough and my teeth aren't in the sink, we'll have another generation to talk to after that. Amen? That should have gotten more laughs at this time. Okay? Really should have. I'll just take the fact that you're thinking about how to apply this to your life. Amen? And finally, our blessing for doing so will be to see his will perform a perfect work in us. And we will receive that blessing. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will perform that perfect work in your life, amen, to the extent that we will yield to him and allow him to do that. And so if you're 10 and you're in the house and you have a specific peer group, speak to that peer group in the ways that you can. Amen. And if you're 16, you've got a job, or you're in school, or you know, you're still under your parents' roof, different piece of work. Amen. God has grown you up. You should be growing up here and in here, commensurate with growing up in here. Okay? You get that skewed up. When that's askew, not in alignment, then trouble can ensue. Amen? And once again, the young single out on their own, not under parents' roof. Different piece of work, men, women, you know that. Different piece of work. You should be growing up. You should be working on that next step. Young single man, are you ready to be head of household, the spiritual head of a family tomorrow? Well, if you're not, you need to be seeking to get there. Because all the looking you're doing isn't going to help if God doesn't think you're ready to perform that function. Same thing with the young ladies, amen? If you're not ready to, in the Lord, submit to a husband, get there, and then the Lord might bring someone along. But be in the place where you can see it. See it for what it is. See them for who they are. None of us are perfect, amen. But be watchful. Be watchful for who God wants for you, not just who you think you want. That's a whole series of messages, amen. And then we've already talked to, I'm going to talk a little bit to those married who soon, let's say in the next 3 to 5 years, all your children will be out of the house. Any in there? Any in here like that? You don't have to raise your hand, but you know who you are. Nominally, you live 20 years single, maybe 20 more married with children. And again, these are variables, but so you're in your early 40s. Your children could be gone. Okay. And then how long after that? Just the two of you? 30, 40 years? another half of your life. It's difficult to raise children. You have to be consistent. And you have to pour your heart and love and mind and finances and everything that in you is into those children. But I'm going to tell you that if you don't prepare for that 40 years after your children, during the time that your children are there, you're not going to know what to do with yourselves when those children walk out the door. You'll either have a mental collapse because your whole world has ended because you focused only on the children and not your own relationship, which is primary. Amen. And I've seen this happen to good people because they focused on the one thing, but not in the same frame of reference that they should have. They should have realized, and sometimes it's too late, it was time for fill in the blank, and they didn't go there. And they struggle, and they struggle. And so many marriages end in divorce even after the children are gone, which seems convoluted. It seems like, wow, now you have time to focus on each other. Well, we don't know who each other are anymore. She lived that life, I lived this life, or we both focused on the children. Now there's no, our focus in life is gone. And then you smother your children. You smother your children. And you push them away even further. This happens. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm going to tell you kind of a funny story. No, I don't think I will. I'm going to hold that one for another day. But don't neglect your marriage. Don't neglect your life together. If your marriage isn't right, you can't give to your children the right picture. Amen? So don't expect when they're 25 and 30 and 35 to be, quote, doing it right in accordance with what you think or what the Bible says if you didn't model it right. Remember, everyone in here is a model for someone. Okay? We are, whether we like it or not. People watch and they listen and they hear. And parents, just like I was talking about, it's not natural for us to admit failure, but when we have failure before our kids, admit it. Because if we don't, their message they take away is, well, Dad never admitted failure. I don't have to admit failure. Really? You going to carry that into marriage? Wrong answer. Okay, I guess we're going off on rabbit trails here. And I know the food's ready soon. So there's a time for everything. Every season under the heaven, the Bible gives us that. Time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted. And each one of these could be a sermon. But I wanted us to see tonight that we need to be receptive to God's Word, the leading of the Holy Spirit, and understand what time and look at yourself from an objective standpoint. I know that's difficult. And say to yourself, what time of life am I in? What should I be doing? Am I, again, that 25-year-old seeking a wife, but I don't have the slightest idea how to handle my own finances or lead a family or do any of the things that will instantly be required of you before God? Get yourself there. And parents, if you're raising your children to keep instead of raising them to leave and be those mothers and fathers and heads of household and wives. Think about that. What's your goal? Your goal shouldn't be to smother them and keep them. But many people do. And it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong before God. So in closing tonight, ask yourself, where are you in life? What's it time to do next? Maybe some help for you there is quit saying, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? When you're approached by your peers or someone around you trying to help you see what's wrong with it? And ask yourself, what's right with this? Is this bringing honor and glory to Christ? Because that's all of our responsibility, amen? Every single one of us, if we're saved, if we're on our way to heaven, that's our responsibility before God. And we're going to close in prayer, and then I'll talk about a little social matter after that. Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee for Thy word today. We thank Thee for the constancy of it. We thank Thee for the consistency of it. We thank Thee, God, that if there's any questions we have in our lives, that we can go directly to You. We don't have to wait. We don't have to stand in line. We don't have to buy tickets to hear some motivational speaker. We need only to open one of the billions of Bibles in this world that we can find. Pray to You immediately, even if we don't have one, Father, and You'll speak to us. And help us, God, to get the eye out of our eye, out of our mind, and do Your work. And we're not going to be perfect. When we're not, Lord, help us to be repentant and turn from that, God. But help us to recognize if we're even going in the right direction. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you would like to learn more about the Westside Baptist Church, please visit our website, www.BibleDirectionForLife.com. Subscribe to the podcast if you would like to hear new sermons and lessons each week. And remember that a sermon podcast is no substitute for opening up a Bible and reading it for yourself.